Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello! I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Okay, we've got another bonus podcast for you. It's a bonus, it's a bonus, it's time to give you a bonus. So, this is episode 129A, and you can find any links from this podcast in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode129A. Now, the reason for this bonus podcast is to let you know, the podcast listener, that we've opened the doors again to the Drama Teacher Academy. What is the Drama Teacher Academy, you might be asking? The DTA is a professional development membership site just for drama teachers and drama educators. It offers workshops on demand, PD when you want, at the pace you want, and what you want. And what I mean by that is that you don't have to search out professional development in your area. You don't have to fit a workshop into your busy schedule. You don't have to worry that the workshop leader is going to spend all their time talking about themselves or rush through an exercise or give you no exercises. The aim of every course in the Drama Teacher Academy is to give you something, not just to learn, but something that you can take into your classroom to use or teach. A workshop on mask, that's fine. A workshop on how to teach mask to 40 high school students is awesome. Wouldn't you love to learn an exercise tonight and teach it tomorrow? Download a lesson plan and be able to use it immediately? So here at Theater Folk Global Headquarters, we've been operating the Drama Teacher Academy for 9 months now. And it's been amazing. We flung open the doors in August. We weren't sure what was going to happen, but we knew what we wanted to do. We knew we wanted to help, and we wanted to provide drama teachers with a particular kind of resource. And we love hearing how the resources in DTA have helped teachers, have motivated teachers, inspired teachers. There's nothing that makes me happier when someone comes up to us at a conference and says, "This is my first year. You saved my life." You know, I can't. Oh, it just makes me tingle. It's just great. We also love hearing from folks who have questions, who want clarification, who want us to explore different avenues. Because if there are questions, that means we have areas that we can change and grow. And if we change and grow, we can only get better. So we're at a place now where we can leave the doors open to the Drama Teacher Academy. We can leave them open permanently. We're not closing our doors anymore. So you can join at any time. You know, if you're thinking about the summer months and you want to take some courses, maybe now's not the time, but you're going to bookmark it and do it later, it's all good. But I got to tell you, now is the time to join DTA. The time to join is nigh, like right nigh, and let me tell you why. So we have a limited time sign-up offer where you can join the Drama Teacher Academy and your first month is $1. Let me say that again. You can join the Drama Teacher Academy and your first month is $1. Now, the Drama Teacher Academy is a membership site, so there's a monthly fee of usually $37 per month or $444 a year. And if you sign up to the Drama Teacher Academy before midnight Pacific on Friday, May 8th, that first month as a member is only $1. You can check out courses, check out resources, check out the private Facebook group. I love this group. Oh, it is filled with the most lovely drama teachers who are great at sharing their expertise, asking questions, answering questions. You want to find out what DTA is all about? Now's the time to test it. Go to dramateacheracademy.com. Go to the show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode129A, and sign up today. But wait, before you go, this is a bonus episode, so you should have a bonus. So let's have a sneak peek into one of our instructors, one of our DTA courses. I have an interview with Stephen Stack, who You may know as a theater folk playwright, Ashland Falls, The Bottom of the Lake. She wrote, died, then wrote some more. And he is the instructor of a DTA course from audition to curtain call, directing youth theater. And that's what we're going to talk about, directing teenagers. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Lindsay.
And Stephen, you have spent a great number of years directing youth theater.
I have.
How long have you been directing youth theater?
I have been directing youth theater now for about 16 or 17 years.
Oh my gosh, that is a long time. And that is actually, so that's the topic that, as opposed to, you know, tuning a piano, but that we're going to get into in this little section here, directing youth theater. Now, how has it changed for you over the past 16 years? You know, when you came into, are you the same director you were 16 years ago?
Oh, absolutely not. When I first started, I was really only focused on the performance aspect of it. I wanted to have a great show, and in some ways, it was really all about me. And I mean, honestly, and then what happened as I continued working with more and more students and noticing various things about how students interacted with one another and what they got out of the experience, I realized that it honestly has very little to do with the performance at all, that it's actually all about the process of getting to the performance. And that made my teaching and my directing so much better.
Oh, and I think that's really important when we're talking to teachers, and this is all part of our teacher tune-up, and that it really, you know, even being in a play can be a teachable moment, can it?
Absolutely. Like, because I just finished 5 weeks of acting camp, a high school one for 3 weeks and then a middle school one for 2 weeks. And what happened from that perspective is that the students had a great time and they had two great shows. But more importantly, what I heard from all of them who barely knew each other before or didn't know each other at all was how close that they got to one another and how they felt like they were part of something, a community. And that's all. And that really became the most important thing to me as I learned more and more about directing. But it really makes me feel good to see that they got that out of it. Did they have a great show? Absolutely. But the main thing was the community that they built together by creating a play. So
yeah, you know, and I have come to learn too that you know, it doesn't matter per se what the play is. It's what the students do with it and how the students work together. You know, and just even building that building a community can like, it can influence them for the rest of their lives, can it?
Absolutely. And too, and one thing the theater really is amazing with, because it can take students from all walks of the educational setting, the kids who, you know, fit in and seem to always belong. And it also gets the kids who seem to always be slightly on the outside. Not that they don't fit in, but they're never really part of the in group. And what it does is bring everybody together to create this world of the show. And by the end of it, they've got this community where they actually all belong together. And it's just a fascinating, and it's just, I think sometimes that people don't really realize what theater is capable of in the educational setting or any other setting, really.
Well, I think when we focus on that, when we take that focus off of production and off of the, you know, sometimes we talk to a lot of teachers who are in a competition vein. Mm-hmm. And if we take that emphasis off of win, 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 and the things, the tools that we can teach them and how we can, through the rehearsal process, those learning tools and skills in within rehearsal, then you win no matter what happens.
Absolutely. And one of the things I stress to my actors is that they have no control, or they have very little control over the final outcome, the performance, because since it's a live performance, anything can happen at any time. You just don't know. So by putting their focus on the process, by getting them to that final rehearsal and knowing that they deserve to have a successful show, that they've done everything in their power to have a successful show, they already have been successful at this point. They've already nailed it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's so exciting. Okay, so if we're going to take production out of it, they mm-hmm. still have to go through the whole rehearsal process. And would you say that the first rehearsal is like where you're sort of laying your foundation for this kind of success that we want to see in these students?
When you have a very efficient and well-structured first rehearsal, you set the groundwork for everything that's to follow. So that allows the students to see, first of all, that you know what you're doing. And second of all, it's meant to get them excited about the whole process of this play rehearsal. Because basically what you're doing in that first rehearsal is just completely setting the foundation, and you've got to have a strong foundation to make sure that the show and the rehearsal process works out the way it should.
Okay, so let's get into some meat of this about how we're going to go about setting this foundation. So what's your best tip here for if you're going to set the foundation in the first rehearsal, what do you do?
Basically, what you first have is the plan outside of it is that you've already got your first rehearsal completely outlined with everything that you're going to do from beginning to end. And one of the things I always like to do is point out some of the keys that every actor has to know going into the process.
Oh, all right. Okay. So give me these keys.
Well, the first one is to let students know that memorizing lines is no big deal. As a matter of fact, what I just did in that camp, what we did was a play in a day, or basically a play in 3 hours, where they took a one-act play and they were in charge of doing the read-through, doing the casting, the directing, the blocking, and playing all the characters. So they would have to memorize all their lines in a short amount of time.
In one day. And nobody freaked out or anything? Like, oh my gosh, I have to memorize my lines all in one day?
Well, basically, they would have, but I already brought this up about memorizing lines is no big deal. That it's just something you do. So some of them at first were like, I don't know if I can do this. But what happened through the process, as they did the work, as they memorized their lines, so many of them came up to me and go, you're actually right. It's no big deal if I just memorize the lines. And I was like, exactly. So letting your actors know in that first rehearsal that memorizing lines is no big deal. It's just something you do sets them up. It takes the fear away that they have about lines that pretty much got instilled when everybody complimented them as little actors. Oh, look at you, sweetie. You memorized all your lines. So then they saw it as a big deal, but you take that away and go, it's no big deal. You just do it.
It's just part of the process. You're just doing it. And if you set that expectation, as I find all the time with students, you set an expectation and then they will meet it.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, students are they're so much more capable of doing things if we put the expectations out there. They want to reach high expectations, but sometimes we lower them when they don't want them to be lowered.
Awesome. Okay, so tip number one, memorizing lines is no big deal. Number two, key number two.
Let them know that there are small parts. There is not one actor, one student actor, any actor in the world who has not received a part with three lines that didn't understand right at the beginning that that's a small part. But then what happens is we tell them the whole, there are no small parts, just small actors. Well, then what that does is add guilt to the fact that they have a smaller part for questioning it. Because I see students all the time when they get cast, they start counting their lines to see how many lines they have. They're fully aware of it. So when I come out in that first rehearsal to go, look, there are small parts. If you just go by lines, there are people with a lot of lines, and then there are people that don't have a lot of lines. But then I stress, here's the thing. It doesn't matter about the lines, because if the part wasn't vital, it wouldn't be in the play.
Awesome. I love that. Okay, number three.
Focus on your character and not yourself. We talk about how self-consciousness doesn't have to happen on stage. It happens because our focus is in the wrong place. When we're nervous on stage, when we're self-conscious, when we're worried about how we're looking, what's happening is we're focusing on ourselves. And the cool thing is, if we take that focus and put it on the character and what the character wants, our hands stop shaking, our legs stop hopping around, we stop sweating unless the theater is really, really hot. And that's where self-consciousness just goes away.
Love that. Okay. And then let's go. Let's go. Number four.
Come through. Well, in any situation in your life, especially theater, when you work with other people, you have to know that that person across from you, the one you're working with, is going to come through by doing whatever they're supposed to do, whether it's memorizing their lines, whether it's blocking, whatever it is. You have to trust beyond a shadow of a doubt that that person's going to come through. And for an actor, what an actor has to do is make sure they do their part so they come through. They're off book on the off book date. They know they're blocking. Off stage, they're treating everybody else with respect. Because when that happens, when everybody comes through, you can create magic on stage because everyone trusts one another. And without trust, there's no magic on stage. When you're four or five and you're playing on a playground, you don't have to know the people at all to play all these games and these fun characters because you already trust them because you're four and five and they haven't really started becoming adult-like where sometimes they don't come through. So you can play. So that's why I always talk to my actors about finding that inner four-year-old or that inner six-year-old so they can play too. And part of that is just coming through for one another.
And last key.
Stress to your actors that when they're on stage, they don't act. Well, acting's the worst thing an actor actually ever does on stage. What that means is they're pretty much not actually listening and responding. They're not in the moment. What happened when they're young, they're really taught to perform, how to say a line, how to stand on stage and things like that. The line of, I don't know how many actors have come up to me and go, would you like me to rehearse my lines in the mirror? No, I don't. Simply because if they're rehearsing how they're going to say their lines, they're not actually in character. They're performing a character.
It comes off as rote.
Absolutely. And some, don't get me wrong, some young actors are great performers. And if you're not really paying attention, they could pull that off. But it's not even about the audience. It's about the actor. How much more fun it is to just totally let this character take over you and just play the moments and respond truthfully. There's one game we play in rehearsal. It's one of my favorite ones because I can't really announce it because then people would give it away. It's called the Curveball. And what I do is only include a couple of the actors in it. And I let them know that certain lines, that they can switch the emotion of the line and just give the actor whatever they want to. So if it's a really emotionally happy line, they can go full bore angry and just to see how the other actors respond.
Oh, okay. So like they're in rehearsing the scene and you sort of pull a couple actors to the side and say, okay, in this scene, what I want you to do is take a line and I want you to totally switch it up and we'll see how the other actor responds.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun to do. And you really find out the students who are listening and the ones who are not. And it's a great teachable moment.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Yeah. The curveball. Pull that into your rehearsals. Okay, so that there is the, when you've got your first rehearsal, you know, set up these five keys for your students, you know, and what an amazing sort of turn it on its ear experience for your students if they know that, one, memorizing lines is no big deal. If they know, look, we're aware there are small parts, and that, oh, if you're nervous, okay, put your focus in your character, not on yourself. If you want to have this wonderful experience with everybody, it's your responsibility to come through. You have to know your part. You have to know your blocking. We want to create a community of trust. And that's when the performances are going to really rock. And I love this last one. Don't act. We don't want performances. We want students listening and reacting. And I think that little curveball exercise is a fantastic later rehearsal exercise to throw in there and see who's listening. Ah, Stephen, that's awesome. I love that.
Very cool. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy the whole concept of that first rehearsal. It's my favorite rehearsal, actually.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Uh-huh.
That was Stephen's five keys for directing youth. Learning lines is no big deal. There are small parts. Focus on your character, not yourself. Come through. Don't act. If you want more of this course or more courses in topics like teaching mask, playwriting, classroom management, Laban, big picture blocking. Wouldn't you love to be able to arrange your students so in vivid pictures, no lines, nobody just standing around, big picture blocking, costuming, voice, breath control, monologue work, close reading. Sign up to the Drama Teacher Academy before midnight Pacific on Friday, May 8th. Your first month as a member is only $1. You can go to the show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode129. Click the link for the Drama Teacher Academy. You can go to dramateacheracademy.com, dramateacheracademy.com. Sign up today. Finally, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk, and you can find us on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word theaterfolk. I love the Drama Teacher Academy, and I know you're going to too. So join us, will you? That's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.